Clayton. John Clayton.
Hey, Mom! I'm done with my segment!
This is the Coors Light Cold Hard Facts with John Clayton.
Brought to you by Coors Light. Made to chill.
We're talking football. We do it every day here with Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle. And we bring in the professor to join us for this conversation. John Clayton is here. Hello, John.
Hello.
How are you? We're good. We're good. We're talking football. How could it be bad?
Oh, doesn't get any worse than that. Gotta love that.
Yeah. Hey, we were talking earlier about Taysom Hill. And before we ask you about him specifically, he had sent out a tweet or had talked about, you know, he wants to be a starting quarterback in this league. And you know, if he can't, he wants to move on, whatever. And George Fant responding saying, you know, basically he agrees. Like, that's the same way he feels. And we talked about him saying he wants to be a starter and he wants to be a starting left tackle. When you hear those things, doesn't that make you just feel like, all right, he's done out here? Because that's not going to happen.
Well, I mean, I think that, I mean, he's, I feel better about what Fant's saying than certainly what Hill's saying, because, I mean, you've seen that George Fant has been able to start. I mean, he had the opportunity and he did it. And then the other part is that, you know, Taysom Hill has never been able to start. And he's 30 years old. And he's think he's too bold thinking, I'm a franchise quarterback and all that stuff. It almost sounds like, you know, he's got a little taste of Baker Mayfield, where in Fant's case, I mean, you know, Fant does have the opportunity to start if he re-signs here, because there's no right tackle, because I don't think that Jermaine Ifedi's coming back.
But he kind of specified he wants to be a starting left tackle.
Yeah, well, that doesn't look good right now. And I can understand his position, but again, the left tackle spot here is pretty well taken care of. So if that's the case, he might be moving on to another team.
Hey, John, so Cam Newton, David Tepper, who is the owner of the Carolina Panthers, says, tell me he's healthy and then we can talk. It's his foot, right?
Yeah.
So what do we know about? I think that's going to be one of the more interesting. And we've talked about this before, John, but we got Breeze, we got Brady, we got Rivers, you know, possibly Taysom Hill.
Possibly Carr.
Cam Newton. I mean, it's really an interesting year for quarterbacks. Is Dak Prescott going to get his money? But with Cam Newton, what do you think happens with him down the road?
You kind of get the feel he's going to get cut, because, you know, tell me, when you have an owner as blunt as David Tepper, and again, I speak his language because he grew up in a ghetto 6 miles away from where my ghetto was. And so you kind of get the feeling when he says that, he's basically saying it's like, okay, if he's healthy, well, we might keep him. If not, let's move on. So I think he's ready to move on just based on those words, because it was pretty blunt. And, you know, Cam wants to stay. A lot of the players want him to stay. But, you know, ultimately it's not going to be his choice. You know, he's had a lot of injuries the last couple of years. That has not been good. And so everything's up for grabs right now.
I guess, John, but when I look at that Carolina situation from afar, I'm going, you guys are really going to give up on Cam Newton and go with Kyle Allen?
No.
So who are they going to go with if Newton's not there? Are they going to bring
another? There's 9 or 10 quarterbacks out there that they could bring in.
So you think which one is most likely that they bring in?
I mean, you wonder. It's like, do you want to take the chance and go with Jameis Winston? You know, that could be one option. You know, they can maybe look to do something with Marcus Mariota. I mean, you got Teddy Bridgewater. I mean, there's a lot of options out there, and they're going to be certainly less expensive than what Cam is right now.
Yeah.
I mean, you got, I don't know about, I don't think they'd go for Ryan Tannehill, but no, you can definitely see that, you know, things are churning there, and with Cam having the injuries, and maybe it's just time for a change for Cam, because, you know, it's been the same thing now for the last couple of years. First, it was the shoulder, then it was the shoulder, now it's the Liz Frank injury in the foot. And so, you know, at some point you got to show that you are healthy if you are going to be able to stay.
All right, well, speaking of those quarterbacks that are available, Philip Rivers says he can still play at a high level. John, are you on board with that?
Yeah, I am. I think he probably can. I think he was playing behind a bad offensive line last year, and that's why I think if he can link up in Indianapolis or even in Tampa Bay, that could be a pretty good situation for him. So no, I think that he still has good football left. Hey, you know, he's smart. You know, he gets rid of the ball quickly. But again, it was just the offensive line was so bad that finally, for the first time in years, people were getting to him.
John, we were just reading a back and forth with Michael Bennett responding to comments from Brock Huard, where Brock was a guest of Danny and Gallant this morning. And apparently they were talking about, you know, the idea of Bennett coming back here. And what do you think? And Brock, just to paraphrase what Brock said, he's like, well, they want to be younger and faster and, you know, hungry players. Is he young? No. Is he fast? No. Is he hungry? No. And then Michael Bennett responded and says, how do you know how hungry I am? You're full of bleep.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, so, it wasn't full of bleep. It was full of, and then he had a picture.
And then he had a picture of some soft serve ice cream. So
soft serve ice cream?
You'd have to see it, John.
It was coming out in a manner, John, that...
you'll know what he was talking about. Okay. You'll get it.
It was kind of a crappy way to respond.
There you go.
Nice.
But he's obviously listening. He's aware of there's a conversation in Seattle about him and the potential of him coming back. I was asking Dave earlier just about is his disruptive nature overplayed? Because I don't think he was ever a problem in the locker room. It was just about, you know, some things off the field, and I still don't really know what happened in Vegas. That whole thing seemed convoluted and just faded away. But what do you think the reality is? Do you think Pete and John look at him and say, all right, he's not going to be the pickup. He's not there instead of Clowney. But could he be, in addition, a cheap option that's fairly productive still?
I think he could be, and I think that's the consideration. Because, again, if I would have told you 2 years ago that Marshawn Lynch would be back with the team, you know, particularly when he didn't want to go to a playoff game because he didn't feel right, that you know, the way that he retired and all that stuff, then asking to go to the Raiders in a trade, you throw all that together and you think, wow, I can't see him coming back. He came back and was welcome back. And so I think that, you know, Michael can offer some pass rush. I mean, he's probably not going to play more than, like, if he would play like 30-35% of the downs. And I think he could help. But again, as a number two or a number three option for the pass rush.
Hey, I'm reading this article that the GM of the Titans and the Titan quarterback, which is, I guess, Tannehill, they have the same agent.
Mm-hmm.
That has to be. Is there rules for some kind of conflict of interest or anything there?
No, not really. I mean, Jimmy Sexton represented Ndamukong Suh when his former partner was the general manager of the Miami Dolphins, and he also represented the coach. I mean, he did this past year. He represented Le'Veon Bell, I believe, and was it Le'Veon Bell? Yeah, I think it was Le'Veon Bell, and also represented the coach, in Adam Gase. So, no, it's not unusual. And my guess would be, now, it depends, or is it going to be the same person? Because, again, sometimes it can be the same person. Yeah. But my understanding is, I think that, you know...
It's like another guy from the agency.
Well, Trace Armstrong's the one who represents the coaches for the most part.
Oh, really?
And so Trace is there, and also Jimmy Sexton. But I think, if I'm not Todd France is representing Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah, and Trace Armstrong, a lot of people don't remember. He was a good player for the Chicago Bears, right?
Yeah.
Defensive player. How about Dak Prescott? Is he worth the $40 million? Where do you think? You know how I feel about him.
No, not $40
million. I think he is a very underrated quarterback.
Did you say 40?
Maybe there's something. Well, does he think he's worth $40 million? That's the question that's posed here, and what do you think it is?
If he does, he's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, he turned down $33 million, and I think that was within striking distance last year of what he should have gotten because, again, he hasn't proven he's better than Russell Wilson yet. Sure, he beat Russell Wilson in a playoff game, but, you know, Russell has had a better career than Dak Prescott. And I would have to think right now with the way things are, I mean, he'll get above Russell Wilson this year if he gets some kind of a deal, but I think it's going to be more $37.5 million than it's going to be $40 million. I mean, $40 million, that's Patrick Mahomes.
Mm-hmm. It's reserved for him.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's really only, you know,
nobody else is allowed to sign for that much.
Not at all.
That's right. Well, I mean, look, if you're Patrick Mahomes, you're the Super Bowl MVP.
Yeah, he should get it.
He should get it. I agree.
You know, where do you rank Russell Wilson? Because I was thinking about this the other day. I'm like, okay, Mahomes has to be one. And I'm sorry, number two has to be Lamar Jackson because he's the NFL MVP.
No, I mean, I would say you still put Lamar. I mean, number two in performance this year, but I'd say right now, you know, you'd have Patrick Mahomes number one, and then you can make the argument for Russell Wilson being number two. You know, because normally what I would do, and I've done this now for about 5-6 years, I would put the MVP for the season in the number four slot. But again, this was under the old ratings when you had Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. I'd always have Drew Brees and Russell Wilson 5 and 6. I'd always have Ben Roethlisberger number three, mm-hmm. but all that's changed right now, and you have a new dynamic. And so, like, for example, I would put Deshaun Watson over Lamar Jackson right now.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I don't know. He did it. You know, he went out and got it done, and obviously they lost, and people are going to discount him for that. But, yeah, I don't know. To me, Russell, I mean, look, it's not anything against him, but I feel like if you go out and you're the Super Bowl MVP and have the numbers Mahomes did, and then same thing with Lamar Jackson, you kind of deserve to be there.
Mm-hmm. Well, hey, he did certainly a great job. There's no question about that.
Hey, John, I was looking at this NFLTradeRumors.com top 100 free agent list, mm-hmm. and boy, a name just jumped out at me. The number one listed linebacker is Corey Littleton of the Huskies, yeah. and he played for the Rams, and he had a great season. So what's he stand to earn this year, John? It looks like he's going to be in high demand.
I think he's probably going to be in the $11 to $12 million a year range. Wow. He might get a little bit better than that. I don't think, because again, the fact he was undrafted, that might be held against him a little bit, but I think he clearly tops 10 or 11 million. And so, he's not going to get the sacks, so that's not going to get him to the 15 or 16, but he's a really good player, and I think he deserves it. So I think, and that's probably going to be too rich for the Rams.
What a great path he took. I mean, obviously you want to be drafted and everything, but yeah, he's a free agent, like you said, John. And then he started off on punt. He would get punt blocks, you know, really good special team player, and now he's up for that much money. Good for him.
You got to like it. I mean,
good Husky.
Yeah, he's definitely earned it.
Hey, John. Sorry, Jim. Where does Taysom Hill end up if it's not? I mean, first of all, if Drew Brees says that's it, I'm calling it a day. Does he get the shot to become their franchise guy, or do you think they bring in somebody else? And if it's not in New Orleans, you think there is another team that views him in that light?
The one thing is that they control things at the moment because he is a restricted free agent. Now, again, they can probably put the first-round tag on him, but is anybody going to give up a first-round pick for him? And that's debatable right now. I don't know if they would. But, I think the first thing they have to do is, what the priorities are. I mean, Taysom Hill, nice. But, again, you control him. Yeah, but you got to find out what's going on with Drew Brees, and he's taking the month to try to decide if he's going to play or not play, because that's going to dictate, do you go with Teddy Bridgewater to keep him, or do you move a different direction and go with Taysom Hill, or do you go outside? First, I got to figure out what Drew Brees is going to do.
Yeah, we don't know yet with him.
No.
What do you think he's going to do, John?
I think he's going to play, but I can't guarantee it. I mean, I was surprised that, it was like 2 days after the season that Sean Payton says, we want Drew Brees back. And then a week later, well, I'm going to take a month to think about it. It's like, ooh, I didn't anticipate that happening.
Hmm. And you still think Carr is going to be out of, I guess, Las Vegas now. I was going to say Oakland, but I guess
I think there's growing chances that could happen, yeah. It depends on what options that John Gruden would be interested in.
And then where do you think he would fit if Carr leaves the Raiders?
Let's see.
You look at his numbers, again, I didn't watch every game this year, but you look at the numbers and go, what are they upset about? I don't understand.
Yeah, no, numbers are good. There's no question. But, you can see that, John kind of has, it's hard for him a little bit to relate to David because, David is very religious and doesn't like to hear swear words. John Gruden is religious but loves a lot of swear words. So it's like you got that problem. And, he wants also a little bit more mobility out of his quarterback. Not that Derek's not mobile at all, but he probably is not as mobile as he would like. So I think, there's definite conversation and thought that maybe, just maybe, they would think about replacing him. But, it has to be the right replacement or you don't do it.
Hey, John, did you hear the big news? The Chiefs re-signed Gehrig Dieter, and also the Patriots signed cornerback Lindsey Pipkins.
That was huge, yeah.
That's the kind of day we got going today.
No, I mean, but remember, I mean, I thought it was also great that because these were the remaining guys in the practice squad. San Francisco signed their two remaining guys that they did not sign as of Monday, and they got them signed by Tuesday. So yeah, Lindsey Pipkins is all out there, and that's what it's going to be like right now. I mean, you're sure you're going to get a contract extension or two as time goes on, but it's one where you're waiting to see. All right, what's the next moves are going to be? But you're not going to have a lot of too many transactions at this time.
Yeah. Hey, John, I thought they were going to get the collective bargaining agreement done and during the Super Bowl. And
they have.
Yeah.
No, they have got it done. The problem is the players don't want it.
Yeah.
The union
Well, then it's not done, John.
What's that?
I said, then it's not done.
Well, I mean, there's almost pretty close to an agreement between the union and the owners.
But the players are off.
And the players aren't for it, no.
Okay.
And so it's right now trying to see if they can get the players on board because the union is willing to do the 17 games. The players aren't.
Well, I guess they're pretty important in the whole thing. So
you would
we'll
think
see
so,
what
yeah.
happens.
I mean, it's their bodies that are being out
exactly.
there. So, yeah.
Professor, that same top 100 list that I was mentioning to you, NFLTradeRumors.com, there were 16 cornerbacks on that list.
Yeah, it's a good year for corners.
Yeah,
Byron Jones would probably be the best. Well, Byron Jones from Dallas is probably going to be the best one out there.
Well, how about right cornerbacks that could come in here and maybe give Trey Flowers a little go over there? Can you pick out a name or two?
I mean, you'd have to look down the because again, they're not going to pay a high price for that,
right?
Because you know, like for example, the top price is going to exceed $15 million, and so here's where you hurt yourself if you sign one of those guys. If you sign one of those guys, let's say you sign Byron Jones and pay him $14 million, what are you going to do with Shaquille Griffin? Because Shaquille now is a Pro Bowl player. And he now can ask for more than $10 million. Are you going to outprice him, and then you're going to lose him in a year? That's not good.
Hey, what's going on with Mark Gastineau? 18 years later, somebody rattled his cage, and he's saying, I want my record back. That's not Strahan's record. It's mine. Brett Favre tanked it on that last sack, so it should be mine. And he says, I want it to be known as my record. I'm not going to say I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings because it's my record.
Oh, jeez.
He says, being nice and being a good sport, that's good, but it's not real. In fact, I'm kind of a liar in a way. I feel like there's just something wrong. This is on my head all of the time. Mm-hmm. It goes through my head all the time. I want to clear things up. So he was there that day that Strahan broke the record and congratulated him. And now he's saying, yeah, that was a big act and I'm lying. And that's a farce. It should be my record.
Yeah, well, too bad. I'm not going to get it. It's, I mean, 20 years is down the road. I mean, you could have protested back then. And I'm sure he did protest because, again, you know, you can see how much that means to him. But again, it's not going to change. Facts are facts. I mean, whether Brett Favre, you know, sacked it and went down just to give Strahan the record, he did it, and the stats count, and they're not going to be changed.
You know, I heard that him and Brigitte Nelson broke up.
I think that was a long time ago.
That was a
right?
long time ago.
I know.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were being serious. Sorry, yeah, I went literal there with you, Dave.
Yeah, yeah. I was trying to remember what her
name was.
There's
a couple lines that are going through my head that I'm not going to repeat.
It's probably better that way.
Don't listen to Jim.
Sacks.
He'll egg you on.
Involving sacks, yeah.
He'll egg you on to say them.
I'm not going
to
go there.
All right, let's make sure we enunciate our words, John. XFL news. Yeah. Winston Moss apparently has lost his mind. And, you know, a little bit more information about that, you know, it's funny. I saw part of the broadcast where they were showing Pepper Johnson, mm-hmm. and then you could kind of see Winston Moss with this angry face sort of in the background, and they didn't show him the entire time. And from what I understand, that was part of it. Like, he really wanted to be, like, part of the show or something like that. There's a lot of drama going on there.
Yeah, there really was. And you know Winston. I mean, when Winston gets mad, he can get really mad. And apparently he got mad at his guy, Pepper. And he also apparently got mad at one of the players because I think that one of the players tweeted out on defense that he was let go.
Yeah, he was a captain, right?
Team captain, yeah. So not a good start for Los Angeles and not a good start, I guess you could say, for Winston. You know, I don't know. I liked him a lot. And like him a lot, so I shouldn't put it in past tense. So I'm always rooting for him, and I was always waiting for that opportunity for him to get a chance to be a head coach because it took so long for him just to become a coordinator.
You know who he's like if you've ever seen Apocalypse Now? He's Colonel Kurtz.
Mm-hmm.
He's just killing off his top, like, you know, admirals, and then, you know, all the violence stopped. You remember that?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's just going through, starting at the top. Chopping his way through.
Boy, I'm wasting no time doing it.
Hey, John, we got a question from the 253 Coors Light text line. Who will make the number one choice in 2021 draft?
The 2021 draft, I would lean toward Cincinnati still being there. Because, you know, figuring that they're going to probably go with a rookie quarterback, maybe they'll improve by a couple games. But I think Washington will be better with Ron Rivera, so you scratch them. Giants are going to be a little bit better. You know, Miami still could be in the mix, and the Jets could be in the mix. You know, those are two teams. But I put my money on Cincinnati right now.
Who's a good team from this year you expect to take a slide next year?
Well, Carolina's already taken the slide, so we can't get them involved. I would say that... we already had the slide from Chicago.
What about Tennessee? Do you think Tannehill comes back down to earth? And
it could be, yeah. But I still think that you know, Mike Vrabel's done a nice job with that team. Now the question is going to be: I mean, I think Houston could drop because even though they got Deshaun Watson, they have a lot of issues right now as far as re-signing guys and trying to fix things up. So I think that could be one team that you might want to watch as far as a little bit of a drop down. Where I think Indianapolis, particularly if they can get Phillip Rivers, they could go up.
I'm sorry, who's the Houston coach again? It's just slipping my
mind. Bill O'Brien.
Is Bill O'Brien also the GM, too?
He is indeed, yeah.
Is there any, let's see, Belichick, who else in the NFL that is?
That's about it. I mean,
I thought we kind of proved that that formula didn't work.
Well, it works with Bill Belichick. He makes that work, but then
he's the
greatest
only
coach
one.
Of all time, so I guess he can make anything work.
But nobody else is able to pull it off.
No.
You think Bill O'Brien can pull it off?
To a degree. I mean, I think he'll make mistakes. I mean, let's put it this way. Do you think he made a mistake with the Jadeveon Clowney trade?
Yeah.
Yes, okay.
Yeah, and they even paid for part of half of his salary.
Exactly, yeah. So that was interesting. But no, I think that, you know, in the end, it's going to be, can he sustain things? Because, again, one of the reasons he can do as well as he has is he's got Deshaun Watson, one of the best young quarterbacks in football, in a quarterback-driven league. And so he's won three out of four division titles. That's good. But, again, can he sustain it? Because, again, he's given up so much draft capital in the future that it's going to be hard to get young players on that team to fit in the cap. Like, for example, he makes the deal on Laremy Tunsil. And Tunsil did a good job, went to the pro, was, you know, Pro Bowl caliber guy, but he also led the league in penalties, and his contract is coming up this year, and they got to pay him, you know, $17 million or $16 million. That's not going to be easy.
John, as always, we appreciate it. We'll do it again tomorrow.
Okay, sounds good.
There you go. There's the professor, John Clayton, with us every day here with Bob, Dave, and more. A reminder, you can listen to our show via the 710 Sports app. It's powered by Dubin Law Group. Coming up, we got into this a little bit. We'll get into it deeper now. Should the Seahawks be in the market for a running back this offseason? Some interesting names out there. And it's not the biggest area of concern, but there may be room for one more. We'll talk about that next year with Bob, Dave, and more on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Bob, Dave, and more on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio. Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
Now here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
Coming up at the top of the hour, El Hombre, Michael Bradley joining us as he does every Tuesday at 5 o'clock. Also, about 15 minutes, Trevor Bauer popping off once again. That's weird. We'll let you know what he had to say this time.
I hope he didn't cut himself with a drone. That's no. Right. He did do that, didn't he?
Now he's taking shots at people. Meanwhile, Seahawk, we got into the running back situation earlier in the show. And you feel like if everybody's healthy, you feel like, yeah, they should be fine. Not a position of need, not one you worry about. But it's still one I worry about because, A, you're an ACL tear, as much as it's become commonplace these days, it's almost like a pulled hamstring. Like, yeah, they'll be fine. They'll be back better than ever. It's it's sort of like a Tommy John surgery in baseball. Guys come back, they throw harder. You're just kind of like, no, that's not career ending. You just long rehab, you're back and better than ever. Kind of what you expect with Penny. I don't know how long it's going to take, though.
It sounded like there's more. It wasn't just a run-of-the-mill ACL / MCL injury with him, though.
Yeah, here's Pete Carroll back talking about this, and he's talking about Carson's injury as well and comparing it to Penny's.
I'm real optimistic, more so about Chris, because Chris doesn't have to do any rehab right now. He's not having surgery and all that. He's just got to get through it and stay off it for a while. He's a fantastic workout warrior, you know, so he'll come running back. I think Rashad is challenged more because he's got the full rehab that he's got to go through. He's doing great. He's ahead of schedule already. They're really excited about the progress that he's making. But, that's a much longer prognosis there. You know, he's got 6-7 months ahead of him that are going to be really challenging. So we'll have to wait and see. But he's really determined. His attitude is great about it. He's planning on making it back and getting ready to play and all that. So we'll see how that goes. So we'll be on the mend, but it's still a pretty good position group for us. And Homer, you know, really helped us out by the play time he got. And it was a classic example. What does a guy have to do? He needs to play. You know, and Homer did, and he showed us what he can do. And so I think it should be a strong group. Really counting on Chris to come roaring back.
There was another cut we had played months back where I think he said they found some other stuff. Didn't he say something like that about Penny's knee? Like, yeah, there were some other stuff they had to clean up. Or
seemed like it.
Yeah. So we'll see how he bounces back. Everybody's different, but you assume he'll be back to full strength at some point. I still worry about Carson. Again, I know not every injury has been completely serious, but the fact that he's missing time, he's missed time each and every year. You're going into the final year of his deal. I think I'd be surprised if they didn't bring in a back or two, whether it's through the draft or free agency. You need some insurance there because you've got two guys that are injury concerns, and the other guy is a rookie who's a little bit undersized. You love his aggressive nature. You love that he's got a tenacious way of running. I just don't know if he's an every down back, talking about Homer. And ProSize, I don't think we expect is coming back. So, to me, that puts the running back position in a bit of a question mark to me. I feel like that's fair.
Yeah, well, yeah, I think so, Bob. I'm with you there on Carson and especially Penny. And so I was just looking at some of these names that are available in free agency, and they could go out and grab a rookie running back, too, in the draft and add him to Travis Homer. But, boy, I like the idea of maybe bringing in a veteran back, too, a Carlos Hyde type of guy. He's a free agent. He rushed for 1,000 yards this year. And then I was also the pie-in-the-sky guy that I'd really like to see come in here is Kenyon Drake. Although you know that the Cardinals are going to make a big effort to keep him there with the offense they got with Kingsbury and the new system there, and he was so effective in that over right. David Johnson.
Would you commit a bunch of money to a running back? I mean, I feel like I'm kind of getting on board with the devaluation of the running back because of their short shelf life, because they are so prone to injury, and you've got examples on your very own roster. So the idea of really investing in one, whether it's people are texting in, Derrick Henry. Yeah, I would love Derrick Henry on this team. Would I cough up big money for him? I don't think so, only because of the uncertainty of that position. It really doesn't make sense when you think about it. As dominant as that guy is, he could be like a lot of the guys we've talked about in the past where they start getting dinged up, it becomes more chronic, and then their numbers just kind of fall off a cliff.
Yeah, I mean, I think Kenyon Drake, there's a lot of hype about him. He sort of burst on the scene there in Arizona, and the way they used him certainly behooved him because he had 9 touchdowns in his first 3 years, and then he had 8 in this last year. And that was, only playing in 8 games with the Arizona Cardinals and looked really good. He can and run and catch. But, there's some other guys on here like Austin Eckler, kid from San Diego. Mm-hmm. And I still call him the San Diego Chargers. But, yeah, he can run and catch the ball. He was only, I think he made 675 last year. He's going into his fourth year. So there's some guys out there free agency wise, but yeah, I think you have to build like a stable because these guys are just they're dropping like flies. Running backs, that's why nobody wants to pay a running back, just because the chances of getting hurt are just so much more at that position than pretty much anywhere.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're running into a wall just about every play, so it makes sense. I feel like they've got to treat the running back position, Jim, like they do the defensive line. When they bring in guys that we look at as journeymen but are effective, and I always throw out the names of Clint McDonald and Ataba Rubin and Jones and Tony McDaniel, I think you almost have to treat the running back that way, right? You draft and you hope you can build around the young
guy. You're talking about a second or a third stringer.
I'm talking about bringing a veteran, and I think Carlos Hyde fits that. I would put him as in a
Ataba
Rubin type
year.
Of he would be the equivalent to me, or some of the players you mentioned, some of the lesser known names that aren't going to be expensive that you can get some production out of, but you're not committing a big chunk of your salary cap or a big number of years to him. I almost feel like you've got to draft for what you think is going to be your primary back and bring those guys in as your depth.
Yeah, I suppose I'm just still firmly in Chris Carson's camp, though, and especially with the offense they have here and what they're trying to accomplish, having a guy like that. But I understand your concerns, too, because you need to have somebody backing him up because of his physical style, the violent nature of the way he runs the ball. But, boy, I think they're going to get one in free agency. That would be my guess. And then maybe get another one, or maybe they think Homer's going to be okay. I think ProSize, everybody feels like he's going to be out of here. They're not going to offer a contract to him, and so they need to do something. But yeah, Carson, the injury concerns, the fumble concerns from last year, but I still consider him the number one back far and away here.
So do I, if he's healthy. It's not about production or talent, it's just about availability.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a big problem. It's totally unpredictable. And again, the two biggest worries I have, who are the best, I think some of the best players on this team, are Carson and Disley. But I really like Travis Homer, and I think I've expressed that.
Does he look like a guy who could be an every down back to you, or
he's a rookie.
Feels like a change of pace guy, just based on his stature and the way that he runs?
He's a rookie. I mean, watching rookies, look, I mean, again, C.J. Collier, he could come back and be I'm sorry.
LJ.
LJ Collier. There's too many initials. LJ Collier, I mean, he could come back and be a guy that has 8-9 sacks next year. You just never know. Mm-hmm. I don't ever count rookies out. I mean, if a guy had a bad rookie season, so what? I mean, that's typically what it's like. I felt like I couldn't even play when I was a rookie. So you come back your second year, we'll see. But I just liked Homer that he was very, you know, direct. I thought he handled it the right way. Put moves on the guy downfield, maybe get a little bit more fancy, you know, add some things to your game. Look at what we saw Carson do. You know, remember the first year, it was just, yeah, he's explosive and he's going to run through people. Then he started jumping over people and hurdling him. Now, last year, he's spinning out of tackles and just, you know, breaking tackles in all kinds of different ways. He's added all of this stuff, you know, to his repertoire over the years. And I felt like Homer is starting off like, I'm going to run north-south as a rookie and not try to be too fancy. And I'm going to try to hold on to the ball and not do, you know, anything too crazy. And then next year he comes back and adds a little bit to his repertoire. But, I mean, if they went and signed a guy like Eckler or, you know, any of these other names that we're looking at, I forgot about the running back from Houston, Lamar Miller. Remember, he blew his knee out in the preseason this year. So, I mean, he's a guy that's out there, but I think you just have to have a number of them, you know, and hopefully Solari's offense is one of those that you can kind of like the old Denver Bronco running game.
Yeah, where Orlando Gary it seemed like whoever they threw back there, they 1,000 yards. I don't know. I don't think they have the line here to do that. It doesn't feel like it.
But. Well, see if Solari's able to, as I like to say, coach him up. I mean, if he is, I thought they were pretty good this year. They had some really good blocking schemes and some really good successful where they just blew holes open. So, you know, there was plenty of that. So, you know, but I just think, unfortunately for running backs, I honestly feel sorry for them.
Yeah.
It's a great, very necessary position that you're just not going to get paid because of the likelihood of injury.
All right, coming up, Trevor Bauer, never afraid to share an opinion. Apparently not a big fan of those proposed MLB playoff changes that we talked about. We'll let you hear what he had to say when we sweep the dial next with Bob, Dave, and more on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Sweeping the dial. Streaming everywhere on the 710 Seattle Sports app and 710sports.com.
We're going to do this whole reality TV stuff. Meanwhile, the best team in baseball is sitting at home waiting for all this crap to transpire. God forbid someone's ace pitches 4 days before the end of the regular season and then has 10 days in between starts. Being on a routine is so important in baseball. We play for 6 months, and now you're going to say at the most critical time of the year that we're going to get 6 days in between games, and who knows how the pitching rotation lines up and all this different stuff, and that's supposed to be a benefit? That's supposed to be the best team in baseball gets this benefit?
Trevor, tell us how you really feel, man. Come out of your shell, buddy.
He's popped off a number of times.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I remember one time, I think I liked it, but he was talking about what pitch was coming or something. And then, you know, he was the controversial guy. Was it a playoff game that he missed because of the drone?
The drone, yeah.
Cut on his finger. He was screwing around, I would like to use another word, with a drone. And he's a professional football or baseball player. And it's the same thing with the guy down in San Francisco that got hurt riding motorbikes.
Jeff Kent.
No, Baumgartner.
Yeah,
was he on a motorcycle when he got hurt?
I think in Denver or something.
Something.
Like that. Oh, Kent was like washing his truck or something, wasn't he?
Yeah, he cut himself, I think, washing his truck, which I never believed that.
I mean, Trevor Bauer, he's the one that chucked the ball over the center field fence when Francona came out to get him. Remember that?
I think he did do that.
Yeah, he was mad. I don't know if he was mad at himself or Francona, but he just turned around and just threw the ball over the fence.
Do you like this guy if he's on your team, though?
Yeah.
I mean, he's kind of quirky. He's not.
Well, don't you think people talk some noise about Gonzalez when he was complaining about the Red Sox and stuff like that? But we loved it, right?
Here, his tweet 22 hours ago was, no idea who made this new playoff format proposal, but Rob is responsible for releasing it, so I'll direct this to you. Rob Manfred, your proposal is absurd for too many reasons to type on Twitter and proves you have absolutely no clue about baseball. You're a joke.
Yeah,
wow.
Can you do that? Can you call the commissioner a joke? Has anybody ever done that in the NFL?
Yes. I don't know. I think you'd get fined in the NFL.
if you go after Goodell
should
that way?
Maybe. Should ask the professor that question.
I mean, Bauer can have his opinion, but, I mean, there's some things with the playoff format, the new one that's proposed for 2022 that...
We'll get into that coming up.
Yeah, I know, but I still like the idea that baseball's trying something different.
Yeah, they're not saying this is what's going to happen. These are proposals, and I think it's sort of the test balloon, if you will. Like, all right,
boy, the attendance numbers are... Yeah, they're going down every single year.
Every year. I'm with you. I don't blame baseball for thinking outside the box, and some of these things sound crazy. I mean, we heard... Think about this before. We heard it not about playoffs, but regular season, where they were talking about in extra innings, they'd start with a runner on second... And they were talking about messing with the mound and all these different things, just kind of floating them out there to get reaction. All right, what do people think? I don't blame them for that.
So yeah.
I'm not sure what, you know, Trevor's a little worked up. Just have a seat, kid. It's going to be okay.
Thank God we have a running game, so the pressure's a little relieved off of Aaron. Because he's so great.
Oh, was she a little girl or a teenager? No,
18 years old.
Or Callie Kessler recently posted a post throat surgery video. I don't know if she had her tonsils out or something. Not sure.
Yeah. I would imagine that.
There weren't that many details given.
She just kept saying
her throat hurt.
But she was adamant.
I hope that was it.
And she was imploring Aaron Rodgers, you know, her love for him, and saying that he hoped he would buy her popsicles. So Danica Patrick, who is the girlfriend of Aaron Rodgers, responded with, "We would like to buy you 400 popsicles. DM your address. We hope you feel better. But if you don't, the popsicles should help a little."
Yeah, and so there's a picture of her sitting there with a bunch of Otter Pops.
Is that what that video was?
Yeah, or there was a picture of her on Instagram.
Otter
anyway.
Pops.
Yeah.
Oh.
Not the true popsicles.
Yeah.
Oh, that's,
not
you
the,
sound
not the two-stick popsicles that you can break apart.
If you grew up, if you had kids, there are still popsicle wrappers in my yard buried under leaves and dirt and stuff.
When your kids were little?
Oh, yeah. You'd get that box of like 200 of them. And, you know, from 200? Wherever. Oh, yeah. That's... When you go to one of the big box stores or whatever. And then, you know, they end up just getting thrown everywhere. I've been picking up popsicle or what are they called?
The sticks, the wrappers.
The wrappers.
Yeah.
For the last 15 years.
Is that because you threw away all the orange ones out of, immediately? Nobody likes orange.
You don't like the orange ones?
No. Nobody liked the orange
popsicles.
Yeah.
How about the banana ones? I like those banana ones.
That has awful taste.
Yeah, that's
really?
Hate.
Oh, I like the
anything
banana.
Those weren't part of the standard pack, were they? Banana? Wasn't it like grape and orange and cherry?
Grape's the best, obviously.
How about the red, white, and blue ones?
No.
You ever have those?
Yeah.
White. Are you telling me grape is not the best?
Yes, I'm telling you grape is not the best.
What's the best,
Maura? That is false. That is wrong.
Is it cherry?
I always liked the reds, yeah. The cherry, strawberry. Sure.
Was it three? There was another flavor, wasn't it? Orange,
there was
cherry,
lime.
Grape. Lime was the other one?
Yeah.
Okay. I just remember nobody liked orange.
I don't remember that.
Nobody liked orange. Yeah, I could see that. Grape, though, obviously is the best, the purple ones.
Mm. Yeah. All right. Well, there you go.
Banana is awful.
Yeah, that doesn't sound
appealing
like at
all.
I didn't
like the purple ones.
You didn't like grape?
No.
It's un-American.
Landry Jones, one of the faces of this league, their starting quarterback, is active, but he will not be playing. Instead, an Instagram model just 6 months ago, and Philip Nelson will be your starting quarterback. What can you tell us about Landry, and what do you expect from Philip Nelson?
Not only an Instagram model, but an underwear model. So this will only enhance his followers.
It's Bob Stoops and Pat McAfee discussing quarterback Philip Jones, whose side career, apparently, I didn't know Instagram model was an occupation, but... I saw the broadcast where they were showing some of his pictures, and they would look like pro shots. And he had really long hair at one point, sort of Fabio-ish, you know, sort of long, flowing
locks. I saw his model photos. Did you take a look? He's got the six-pack going on. He's got...
Yeah, he was shirtless.
Jim's impressed.
He had the really long hair.
He looks good. He looks really good. He does.
Did you must have found some of the other pictures. We could only find the ones where he's wearing a football jersey and... still had semi-long hair. But
Jim is one of his followers on Instagram.
All you have to do is just Google his name and they'll come up.
Didn't we, Maura? We saw
you
just
couldn't
football.
Find him?
We saw him just sitting in a football jersey.
Well, maybe because it's Philip Nelson and not Philip Jones.
Yeah,
try
Philip
that?
Nelson.
Yeah.
Is... Oh, no. Did I pull a Clayton with a Randy Kitchen and Freddie Kitchen? Sorry, guys.
I think you may have.
No,
his name's Philip Nelson.
Take a look at the guy. Just Google him.
I saw him post it on the broadcast.
Yeah.
He's the kind of quarterback that D linemen and linebackers love to hit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just too pretty.
Pretty boy.
Yeah. Pretty boy.
Yeah.
Take that. All right. There you go. Good stuff. Coming up next, is it time for the one and only El Hombre to embrace the XFL? We'll see if he did. We'll see how he felt.
We need
about
to talk
it.
To him about he blew the hang up last week too, remember?
Oh, do we have the audio of his fumble hang up? Yeah, we'll have him explain all himself right. There as well. That's coming up with Bob, Dave, and Maura on 710 ESPN Seattle.